A network that beats to the heart of God. I am your host, John Fowler. So glad to have you tuned in, along with my co-host, John Sandy.
Hello.
Hello, neighbor.
Hello. Yeah, hello, neighbor.
There used to be I was talking to Bobby about this in Winston-Salem a couple days ago, because where we worked at the same radio station, there was a guy named Sidney Dent.
Okay.
And Sidney had a program on WXIT, which was the radio station that he and I both worked at. And that's how he would come on the air. He would say, "Hello, neighbor." "Hello, neighbor." And it was always funny. He's passed away now, but he was so funny. I think his program was called, "It's time now for the Word of Life program with Pastor, Evangelist, Bishop, Custodian,
all
grass
the
cutter,
all the time,
commode cleaner."
You can relate.
Sidney Dent. "Hello, neighbor."
Now, did he do it to mock that, or was that just the way
No, it's just the way he did it.
Oh.
I mean, that was him.
He may have been the original Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers did that too, didn't he?
I think that's where I got it. Yeah. When you did that, that's what I mean.
Hello, neighbor. So, hello, neighbor. Glad to have you tuned in to the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God around the world. And this picture that we have on the screen today, I don't know where I got that, but I think it's on Earth. I really think
it may be part of our planet.
And it has to be. I mean, there's trees, but I can't remember where I was when I took that.
That's amazing, isn't it?
What, that I travel so much?
That you forget so much.
Well, I don't forget very much, but I can't remember. I think what happened was I found that picture on Facebook, and I kept it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's my picture.
It's not one of your originals.
No, but I see cows in the background. You know, I'm thinking about writing a book. Now, don't take my idea, because, I mean, I think this about the anorexic book, the anorexic cow. I'm thinking about doing that.
Ooh, that sounds
that's
good.
And the cow finally realizes, because he sees his friends slowly leaving the pack, mm-hmm. to where he thinks, okay, there's something to this thing. And where are these guys going? And so then he decides that he's going to cut back, not eat as much grass, mm-hmm. lose a little weight, mm-hmm. not necessarily
slim down,
not necessarily becoming anorexic.
But get rid of those love handles.
Yeah, get rid of the love handles. Because, you know, it's like I drive by a farm sometimes, and I'll see the cows out there grazing, and I say, you guys are sealing your destiny.
It's really, yeah. I mean, it's like really you're walking into it.
Yeah, you're walking right into it.
And I bet if they ever get it, they would be just utterly amazed.
Utterly? You think?
Yeah.
You're such a play on words, no doubt. Hey, Pastor Wright did an awesome job yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Love him and Linda.
That's my boy.
Yeah, they
taught him everything he knows.
Yes, right. I'm sure you did.
And Linda, it was so wonderful to have both of them with us. Because the first time I met her was at when he came to preach one time.
Yeah.
That's the first time I met her. But
absolutely.
Such a delight.
Absolutely. Good morning, Bishop Donnie Robinette in North Carolina.
Yes.
So glad to have you tuned in. I'll see you this week.
And one day I will.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We've already seen him once. We had lunch or had dinner.
As far as going down there.
Oh, yeah. You should.
I need to do that.
It'll never be the same.
Good or bad.
When you go to Pawtucket, North Carolina, it will never be the same. There'll be signs. There'll be people. There will literally be people holding up signs when your motorcade goes by.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a name. The name for Pawtucket came from something, but Jennifer McAllister knows that one. I can't remember that one.
That'd be an interesting story, wouldn't it?
It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And just to be able to partner with the Church of the Living God and the Pulse Church of the Living God, partnering with, mm-hmm. you know, the Church of the Living God. It's just exciting just on what God's doing. And I love Bishop Donnie Robinette. We sit and have many conversations. He's got a camper down there on the facility, and we sit over on the poach.
Does his camper have a poach?
It's got a poach.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of places don't have poaches anymore.
No, not anymore.
You know, they don't have a poach. They have a, what do they call it, a landing or a stoop. It's called a stoop.
A stoop.
Yes, I'd like for you to buy my house, and it don't have a poach, but it's got a stoop. That's what they call it.
That's
I don't know where'd that come from.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It's like somebody walks by and say, that's a stoop. And then it takes off.
Excuse me?
Yeah, and then it takes off. And it's like, how does that happen? But yeah. He's got a poach.
I enjoyed meeting him, my wife and I. Well, she didn't get to go.
Yes, she did.
She was there. I forget.
Yeah.
She's so busy. We had a wonderful time. And you really enjoyed meeting him. Looking forward to seeing him again sometime. When we travel down there. Hey, do they expect to be hit by Debbie? Are they saying anything about that?
No, I think there's some maybe the outskirts of it, because I was looking at the weather because I'm leaving Wednesday. And
something to think about.
And there's a chance of rain, like a 74% chance of rain, I think, for Puffdown. Let me look again. Let's see, for Thursday and Friday. Wait a minute. Daily. All right. So Wednesday is a 24% chance, not 23 or 25, but 24% chance of rain. Then there's a 72% chance on Thursday and a 78% chance on Friday. But that's a long way away. So they have to fine tune the rain development.
They're watching it now, and they're anticipating possibly places like Charleston to get hit pretty hard. So we'll see.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Is there a Charleston, Georgia?
No.
I know they expected Georgia to get hit, so maybe South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach.
That lower region.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach is supposed to get like a lot of rain.
Really?
Yeah.
Up that coast. Well, it started in the Gulf, didn't it? And it's coming across Tallahassee.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's supposed to clear off cloudy, and then we're supposed to have a warm freeze.
Warm freeze.
And it's going to clear off cloudy. Yeah.
Now,
let me tell you something. I studied a lot of the weather in aeronautics.
I could tell.
You know, I've studied.
I used a sling slicometer once.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well, see, what happens when these fronts come in, it causes the ominoons to mix with the polynoons. It causes the barometric pressure to drop.
And you don't want to drop your drawers.
No. And when the polynoons and the anionoons start messing up, it just gets out of whack.
Yeah, and then you're dealing with other problems.
Well, and that's close to the wobbler bearing.
And you don't want to mess with that.
No, the wobbler bearing, when the wobbler bearing gets out of whack, especially on an airplane, you know, the wobbler bearing. Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, there's just so many different things that can go awry, so to speak.
Now, if you're listening 3 years from now, forget anything we had to say.
Yeah, because you'll never get it back.
It's past.
You'll never get it back. Yeah. But John Sandy is here today.
I am live.
He is live, and he's talking about Love God, Hate Sin, Part 4. Is this it?
Part 4, yes.
There's no more past 4?
I didn't say that.
Well, how many did you have in Gasway? You did part...
Yeah, I probably did 4 there, but you know what? It's like a whole different message.
He extends these so he can keep coming back.
Stretch it out.
I get it.
You left out something.
Huh?
You left out something.
What?
The John John Show.
Yes, absolutely.
This is the John John Show.
Absolutely.
Glad to have you along with us. Hey, how you doing?
Absolutely.
Continue
to pray for Pastor Stephen in Uganda.
Yes, yes.
He's had a bout with malaria.
Yes.
And so anyway, it's just pray for him.
The last post, he was still weak.
Yeah. I think he was going to the hospital.
Yes.
To get checked out.
Yes.
So just pray for him. I sent him a message, let's see here, at 8:47 last night. But the one before that, he texted me back. And so, you know, the enemy is a liar. And Father, we pray for Pastor Stephen today.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we rebuke malaria in his body. We curse that in Jesus' name. And we just ask that you heal him in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And bless John Sandy as he gets into part 4 of Love God, Hate Sin.
You know, there's a such a need to know how to resist the devil, isn't there? You know, when things come against us, and we need to make sure that we stand, so when things come at us, that we're not completely thrown, right?
I just uploaded Pastor Lucio Fuentes' message in a camp meeting on Friday night.
Yes.
He said something, and I wrote it down because I thought it was really good. He said, we're more concerned with looking like God in the flesh than looking like God in our spirit.
Yeah. That outward manifestation, you know, isn't always the result of a good inner work. It all depends on our motive and our desire of our heart. And you know, well, my wife and I were talking about forgiveness, and she's working on a little topic on forgiveness.
What, like trying to forgive you?
Well, that's a different issue.
That could take a while.
We weren't going to go there. We're pretending this is someone else's scenario. You've heard people do that. Like, I have a friend,
but it's really them.
Yeah, it's really them. Yeah. Cynthia has a friend that she can't get along with very well, and they fight all the time.
And that's you. Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah, but sometimes we start, you know, when you're doing the best you can and you're a new Christian or you haven't dealt with a certain situation before, you may not feel like you're walking in complete victory. But just start. Start somewhere.
Right.
Whether it be forgiving someone. And the Bible makes it clear that you're not clear even if you're innocent. It makes it very clear. It doesn't matter if you're innocent or not. You know, the Lord's Prayer. So we start somewhere.
All right.
You know, just start somewhere. It's like, okay, I'm not going to retaliate.
No.
Okay, that's the start, right?
Right.
You may not be in love with the person that just hurt you or someone you love, but we make excuses for being that way with people. I don't want to get into all that. But we want to stand on God's word for a pastor. And different ones. We all know people that are going through things right now. I know I could name some. But we need to stand in the gap with them and for them. I love the scripture, John, where Jesus was dealing with the boy with the deaf and mute spirit.
Right.
And the disciples couldn't heal him. So the father was losing faith.
Right.
And so he went to Jesus, would it be possible that can you help me at all? So you could tell his faith had waned. And when your faith wanes, you have to fill that void with something. And a lot of times it's fear and just simply unbelief. And he was really honest about it. I believe, Jesus, he said, believe. And he said, I believe it. Help my unbelief. And what's so wonderful about that is Jesus healed his son.
Yes.
Even when he said that. And so when I'm trusting for things, whether it be myself or someone like Pastor that we just prayed for, Lord, I believe.
Right.
Help my unbelief. If there's anything, reveal it to me.
Hallelujah.
Show me what it is. And, of course, what was one of the main things that Jesus said to the disciples on that whole conversation was this. It's because of your unbelief. Now, you can read Matthew and Mark both, and they don't contradict each other, but they do give you different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of those two books, he said to them, I believe it was Matthew, he said, the reason why you couldn't do it is because of your unbelief. And we always thought that when Jesus said, "On this only comes out by prayer and fasting," we always thought that meant demons.
Right.
Well, Jesus already gave them authority over demons.
Right.
So we know it wasn't that. And at that time, if we remember, John, they weren't fasting yet. Because he said, when I go away, that's when you'll fast. Mm. So they weren't even fasting yet.
Right.
But he's talking about unbelief. So we got to get unbelief out of us. So when you're trusting for someone and you don't see results, start to seek God out. I had a lady send out a text where she needed prayer for this and that. You could tell she was losing her joy and her peace. And so I just very gently shared with her, when you get alone with God, gently lift up praise and worship and listen as you're with him. Because he just might draw something in your spirit saying, this is what's missing.
Right.
Whether it be you need to do something, literally, physically do something, or your attitude change, or God may say to you, like I believe he's been dealing with me because of the scripture, because I want to see more results, I need to spend more time fasting. So I felt like God dropped that in my spirit, but I was seeking him over this. So we need to ask God, think questions, and then listen, don't we?
Yes.
So we want to be there for people. I want to see people healed. We want to see people helped, encouraged, lifted. That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
So we need to be like him, right? So it didn't mean sidebar there, but wow, we need to find out why things aren't happening. Seek God about them. Lord, what do I need to change in my lifestyle? What do I need to do to change so that God can have his way? So anyway, that's a little bit of a sidebar. We are on part four of Love God, Hate Sin, or as I've said, Love God and Hate Sin. We got love what God loves, but we need to hate what God hates. And a lot of times in the Christian world today, unfortunately, we try to love God, but you can't completely do that unless you also hate what he hates. We're still doing things that God hates. And yet we're trying to mix that with loving God, and we're wondering what's wrong. Well, that can be the issue. Last time we were together, we talked about, and I want to review just quickly, what we call violent healings. Now, if you're with us, you may remember that. If not, it might interest you. And so I want to give just a few examples of what I mean by violent healings. That's whenever you are determined to get your healing. You're just determined. Here's some examples. The woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8:43-48. Now, she had a situation where it was dire. She had spent all her money on doctors. She was getting worse, not even better at all, not even maintaining herself. She was getting worse. She was ridiculed and isolated from society, even her family, because back then that was considered unclean. So here she is. She is desperate. And she went and determined, I believe, therefore, I'm going to claim my healing. And the only way I know to do it is to touch the hem of his garment. That was her concept of faith. Okay? So she took her concept of faith, because what that did was her concept activated her faith. You may say, well, I never thought about touching the hem of his garment, or I never thought about doing that to receive my healing, but that wasn't your contact. Her contact was what she believed would bring and manifest her healing, because she needed a physical touch. This is important here. She needed an actually physical touch to connect her faith to Jesus. And that physical touch was the hem of his garments. So she was violent about it. She pressed through the crowd. She could have been stoned, ridiculed, all kinds of things, but she was at the point, have you been there? At the point where you say, okay, God, I give up. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to seek how you want me to do this, because you have the answer to how I can have my healing. Another one is Jesus came near Jericho, and a man who was a beggar hollered for Jesus to heal his eyes. And they told him, that, if you remember, they told him to hush, be quiet, don't disturb him. And yet that's why Jesus was there. And he said, no, I got to. So he probably had to sense where Jesus was to know what direction to even holler. So he hollered even louder, and Jesus came to him and healed him in Luke 18:35-43. Isn't that awesome? And so he was healed. That man put himself in a place where he could get harmed. I mean, something can happen, because he was totally dependent upon people to help him. But his violent healing, his desire to be healed, caused him to go against those who were with him, who maybe some of those who told him to be quiet may have been those that helped him. So when you have a situation where you just have no other answer, and you just let Jesus have it, and you just go all out for God, sometimes that's what it takes to break the yoke. The another one was a paralyzed man being lowered down through the roof. They had to tear off the roof. I mean, these were people with him. Boy, you could do a message just on the four people that had the four corners of his existence. Because when you're crippled like that and paralyzed, your world's pretty small. back then especially. They didn't have wheelchairs and motorized wheelchairs and all those things back then. His contact, boy, was those four people carrying the four corners of his existence. And they went as far as to get him up on the roof to get through the crowd and lower him down through the roof of Jesus' home. They were that desperate. Now, desperate can be bad. You don't want to be desperate to cause you to do the wrong things. But if you're desperate in the sense that I know that my only answer is Jesus, you're in a good place. It's a desperate place, but it's a good place. And so they lowered him down, and Jesus healed him. He walked out of the house. Wow. Mark 2, verses 2 through 11. Amazing. A violent healing. A widow seeking justice from a judge because of the adversaries, because of her adversaries. he was not a righteous man, the judge. But she pressed and pressed and pressed. You know, people, don't bite the hand that feeds you. I told my kids growing up, and I tell people, don't burn bridges. Because there are people out there that you may not consider Christians or this or that, but they hold positions of authority, they hold positions of responsibility that one day, you never know, your paths may cross again and you may need their help. I taught this to my kids. Don't burn bridges. Appreciate people. Love them. And one day, your paths may cross again where you may need help. I had a situation where some rental property I had, I had a situation with drainage that involved the highway. And I worked and worked and worked. I can't tell you how many months, maybe 2 years or so, that I worked with the water, with the highway department on working on this situation to get it resolved. But I always tried to appreciate them. I had a good relationship with them. And so something came up later that involved them. And because of our relationship, they stepped right in and took care of it. I was blessed. I worked with the highway department. I worked with the health department and just appreciated them so much how they worked with me. And one day they told me on the phone, Mr. Sandy, all of us down here want to thank you for how you work with us, because a lot of people that are called landlords do not want to work with us, and you do. Wow, that was a blessing. And because of that, I have a good relationship with them, and they're patient, and they're kind, and they work with me. So learn how not only to be violent about your healing so you can have it, but do it in a way that Christ would approve. Do you ever want God's favor? That means you want his approval. You want him to be happy with the way you handle things. So there's some examples of violent healings that causes us to understand better what God loves and what God hates and how he handles it. Now, let's talk for just a moment about what I call agents, not my terminology, but agents of healing. Now, agents of healing are those things that Jesus might use or you might be using that facilitate healing, that gives you a contact. In other words, it's an instrument to connect our faith. And I'll give you an example or two. Jesus made clay and used it to anoint the eyes of a man from birth and told him to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. Siloam, John 9, 1, verse 1 through 13. Now, the pool of Siloam was not nearby. He had to travel maybe about a mile to get to it. But the clay represented a contact between Jesus and him, just like the hem of his garment for the woman that had the issue of blood. Jesus didn't need her to touch his hem for her to be healed, but her faith required it. This man had a contact with Jesus that he carried with him all the way to the pool. He had a contact with Jesus all the way. It was a way for him to review. I've just been with Jesus. He's with me now. I've just been with Jesus. He told me to do this. I'm doing what Jesus said. I feel the clay on my eyes. I know people may be laughing at me as I walk, but oh, what's getting ready to happen? What's getting ready to happen? Why? Because I'm taking Jesus with me to the pool. See, God leaves his DNA on everything he touches. And his DNA was in that spit and that clay on his eyes. He took Jesus with him to the pool. One with the issue of blood touched Jesus simply by touching part of his existence, stepping into his world. So these are instruments to help us to have faith because it gives us a contact. We may think of it as insignificant, but it isn't, folks. Because when we seek God's love and what he loves, when we seek to stay away from things that God hates, we're on our way to a victory. We're on our way to healing, wonderful things. Those who found healing when they decided that they really wanted it bad enough, those are the people that we were just talked about with violent healings and those that required an agent of healing. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing anytime he healed somebody. And there was a reason and a purpose behind it, whether we see it in this lifetime or not. There was a reason and purpose for everything Jesus. Jesus did not waste anything he did. He didn't waste time anywhere he went. He didn't miss opportunities, whatever he did. The man lying by the pool of Bethesda in John 5:14. When Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed, the man's answer was not really clearly yes. Did you notice that? You say, why did Jesus ask if he wanted to be healed? Well, of course he wanted to be healed. He's been laying there waiting for the water to be stirred. But I'm telling you what, folks, there are people out there that if they can get by sick, they will get by sick. If you can get by just with enough money to pay the next bill, they will do that. Do you know why? One of the reasons is because we do not want to work for what God wants for us. You have to work. You have a responsibility in all this. It's not all on Jesus. Well, I guess if he wants me healed, I'll be healed. I guess if he wants to send revival, he will when he's ready. No, he's been ready. The fields have been white for harvest for generations, thousands of years. It's been ready all this time. God's waiting on us. We're not waiting for God to heal. We're not waiting for God to send revival. We're not waiting for God to get rid of Baal or Diana. No, God took care of everything. He's waiting for us to pick up the ball and run with it. So the man at Bethesda, he asked him, do you want to be healed? The man said, I have no one to take me in the water. Jesus is like, I can just imagine Jesus saying, that's not what I asked you. Let's try this again. Do you want to be healed? You know, separating out all the words. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said, there's no one to help me. Jesus, oh mercy. Jesus may have already perceived that the man may not have been ready for his healing when he arrived. Sometimes we do things to be healed or helped, and in our mind, we already know, oh, this isn't going to help, but I'm going to go through the motions anyway. How about Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, a great, honorable man in the eyes of his master, king of Syria, Naaman. Wow. Naaman had leprosy. So here comes Elijah. Though a man of valor, he had leprosy. And Elijah the prophet, while in Samaria, offered to see Naaman. When Naaman arrived at Elijah's house, Elijah sent out word to tell Naaman to dip in the River Jordan 7 times. That was a dirty river. And Naaman, though honorable, I think elevated himself even above his sickness. Isn't that amazing? You and I could be going through things that are absolutely miserable, and we need help, and we want help. But our self-honor, you know, how's it going to look if I do this? If I go to church and go down front and ask people to anoint me, they're going to know something's wrong. And so pride gets in the way. And before you know it, we've talked ourselves out of doing what God wants us to do to get to our point of contact, that agent of healing. And Naaman thought, why wouldn't Elijah come out to me and not send just his servant? See, that didn't go over very well with Naaman. And then when he was asked to dip seven times, not one, folks, but seven times in a dirty river, it's like, that's it. You know, I'm an honorable man, pride. I'm a man of great respect, pride. I'm a man that's won many battles and brought trophies back to my king in Syria, pride. Pride comes before the fall, right before the fall. So he was insulted. So he turned and walked away. Now, this is interesting. It was Elijah's servant that gave him the word on how to be healed. He couldn't hear. It took Naaman's servant to take the message to him a second time to convince him, look, do what Elijah spoke. So finally, after two servants, you see, God knows where Naaman was. God knew that Naaman's pride was his problem. It wasn't the fact that the water was dirty and he had to do it seven times. It wasn't the fact that Elijah didn't come to the door. It was his pride. And it took two servants to get him healed. And he did. He finally did. After dipping seven times in the River Jordan, he was what? Completely healed. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. We must learn to be violent in our spirit. Be angry and sin not. You're to be angry at sin, not people, folks. No. We got it completely backwards. We're tolerating sickness and we're getting angry at our friends. And sometimes even Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 7 from the New King James Version, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I love the word all. What's Greek for all? All. Casting all your care upon him. Seeking him what? First. For he cares for you. Folks, no matter what you're going through, I don't care if it's a marriage situation, your children are out in the world wild, living wild lives, and you're heartbroken, or your church is divided, you're sick, your finances are not doing well, you lost your job. Man, it could go on and on. Folks, I need to tell you something. He cares for you. He said, cast all your cares, everything I just mentioned and many more, that's all. Everything you got, cast it on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. No one can cast your cares on the Lord except you. Folks, there's just so much other people can do for you. They can pray for you. They can lay hands on you. They can provide needs in your life. They can step in and raise money for you. They can do, man, friends, true friends, godly people can do amazing stuff to help you. But they can't get you to Jesus. What I mean is that they can lead you there, but you've got to make the decision. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know God's will instead of your own? Are you ready to let go? Why aren't some people healed? We're going to talk about that next time. Why aren't some people healed? You got to remember, folks, not everybody's going to be healed, but that does not mean it was not God's will. Does God want everybody saved? He said, I desire that none perish. But guess what? More people are going to miss heaven than make it. That should stir us up. Not just for ourselves, but our calling, our purpose in life, and what's really important. Folks, I don't care how young you are. You're not going to live very long. Life is like a vapor. It's short. And we need to give him all we have. Are you willing to cast your cares on him? He cares for you. Did you know that? He loves you. When the Bible tells us he cares for us, it means that he has the answer for everything you're going through. And not only does he have the answer, he already paid for everything you will ever need in life. He says, if you tithe, I'll pour out a blessing. By his stripes you were healed. His blood on the cross was shed for your salvation. Folks, he's covered everything. Relationships. God will help you in every area of your life if you just realize that he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 again. But you had to cast your cares. We're not going to know how much he cares until we cast our cares. As I've said before, if I do this, if I do, God will do this. And do this. See, God's already done his part, but it releases your faithfulness, your letting go and letting God, your casting your cares. All these things release what God has already done. Do you know that you could have had many things changed in your life years ago? Years ago. Many things could have changed in your life already. Why haven't they? Because we have not cast our care on him. We've not sought him first. We've not sought his face. We haven't had an excitement and exuberant about healing and deliverance as he wants us to have that violent faith. The violent take it by force. Don't go to bed angry. We think, oh, I can't go to sleep angry. No, it's telling us don't go to sleep, but stay angry at sin. Stay stirred up. When you see people not getting help and healing and you're not seeing results in your praying, that should stir us to seek him more. God, what is missing? Because these signs shall follow those that believe. And it's a list. It's a wonderful list. And we could go on and on. But next time we get together, part 5 on Love God, Hate Sin, why aren't some people healed? Stick around for that. We're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down a little bit for you because it's really not that complicated, but it sure is vital. See, things don't have to be complicated to be important. Sometimes it's the easy little thing that fixes the situation. Sometimes it's just a little word from God, what he wants you to change to just cause your ministry, your calling to explode in this world. I don't want to see hell expand anymore, do you? Let's start taking people with us. That's the treasures. I said yesterday when the Bible talks about store up your treasures in heaven, what does it mean? It means people. How do I know? Because you already have heaven. When you get there, you already have heaven. That's it. You got it all. So what are stored up treasures? People. People that may be because you denied yourself, you took up your cross. Folks, the cross is heavy at times. But if you learn to lean into the weight of the cross, it will create balance in your life. And you can stand. Stand because you lean into the weight of what God is wanting us to carry. And it's a wonderful joy. It's a wonderful joy. Thank you for being with us. Wherever you are on your walk, I encourage you today. I encourage you, admonish you to seek him first, to start looking to him, spend time in prayer, not just praying, but listening to his voice. Find that gentle breeze that crosses your face when you're alone with him, sheltered under his wing. And listen for his voice. He'll teach you things. He'll reveal things to you to come, it says in the Bible. And he'll show you a way, a better way, a more excellent way that you can finish your life in such victory and joy and peace and rest because you cast all your cares on him. I encourage you to do that today and just say, Jesus, I give you control of my life. You are my Lord. You sit at the right hand praying for me, and I seek your face. I seek you first. I dust my shoes off. I repent, and I move forward with no past with me. It's all gone, never to be remembered again. And ask God to guide you and give you wisdom. If you don't doubt, he will. If you don't doubt, we will see the manifestation of healings. If we don't doubt, we'll see a fulfillment of many things in our lives, and we'll see prosperity in our life for the purpose of the kingdom of God, the purpose of doing his will, not our own. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next Monday on the John Show as we get into part 5 of Love God and Hate Sin. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John Sandy, and there are 3 different ways that you can give to this ministry, and we appreciate all the ones who do give to this ministry. And you can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com, give through PayPal, or mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gasway, West Virginia, 26624. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.